Welcome to the Back Porch Gourmet Podcast, where the outdoors start at your back porch, with your host, Andy Johnson. Check out the latest in outdoor cooking at www.backporchgourmet.com.
All right, so this is our second podcast. I've got a great guest lined up. This is Tony Black from Dutch Oven Madness, www.dutchovenmadness.blogspot.com. And let's just go ahead and get started. Tony, tell us where you're from and just a little bit about yourself.
Okay, hi, my name's Tony Black, and I live in a little tiny town in central Utah called Denola. I'm the mother of seven, and I just started Dutch oven cooking for the first time at the beginning of this year.
Now, you've been cooking Dutch ovens every day for this whole year. I would say that's a bit more than a, you know, any average people. And how did you get started cooking?
Well, actually, I've had Dutch ovens sitting in my basement for probably 15 years, resting. I've never used them. And I, you know, being the mom of seven, I don't have a lot of time on my hands. And so I wanted to learn something new, but I couldn't go to school just because of my small kids. So I decided to take something that I had to do anyway and learn to do it in a new way. So I started to learn to cook in my Dutch oven. So it's been
that
a lot of fun.
Awesome.
I've learned a ton.
What are some of the things that you've learned in your life lessons?
Persistence, definitely persistence. It's been difficult at times, but a ton of fun. And to do something every single day and commit to doing it and following through, it's a big deal. So, and it's been a lot of work, but I've definitely learned that I can do hard things and that persistence pays off.
So every day that I read it, I get excited, you know, looking at what Tony's going to have cooked up the next day. And, you know, it always looks like really good stuff. So I'm really impressed. You know, with all of this, cast iron cooking, it obviously can have an expensive factor with, you know, you burn your fuel all the time.
Right.
So does it become work or is it more of a play thing for you?
It's definitely play. It's more fun than I ever thought it could be. I have an absolute blast cooking outside.
Now, you tell your readers about kind of your issues with switching charcoal brands, and I'm kind of interested in your Dinwiddie ring method. So could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Okay, with the Dinwiddie ring method, it's really great because you can use any brand of charcoal, any size of charcoal. I've even mixed brands of charcoal and had really great results. What it is you can cook just about any food in your Dutch oven with four basic temperatures. There's a slow, a medium, a hot, and a very hot, which would be 300 degrees, 350, 400, or 450 degrees. So what you do is to get any Dutch oven, a 12, 14, 16, even a 20-inch Dutch oven, to 350 degrees. You'd take one and put one ring of coals underneath the oven, and then one and a half rings of coals on top of the oven. And each ring is how many coals it takes to put around the edge of your Dutch oven and have the coals touching. So then a half a ring would be another ring inside every other coal. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And it's a great way to cook because I can use broken coals. It doesn't matter how big or small your coals are. As long as they're all touching, you're going to have the temperature that you need. It's much easier than counting coals.
Yeah, I've tried the method after you kind of highlighted it on your blog, and I got to admit, it didn't work for me.
Didn't it really?
No, I do the Andy Johnson method of winging it, and I also cook in a volcano, and
right.
When you've got the heat concentrating going up, and you've got that air drafting up, and it's more insulated than just an open-air Dutch oven, definitely messes with the way you cook, and so I've found that I have to use less coals, which actually, you know, it's a good investment because you can save money. But so it didn't work for me. Any ideas on how I can maybe revisit that method and try it again. And what it ended up happening is I probably calculated too low of a heat, and I was doing a meatloaf, and it took a much longer time to cook. So what do you think, Tony? So any ideas on how I could improve to try and use the Dinwiddie ring method again? It didn't work for me with the meatloaf because I used probably too few rings.
That's really that's really the key, is make sure that you use, well, with any charcoal method, make sure that you're using enough coals and that you're getting the pot up to temperature, because really, if no matter what method you're using, as long as you can keep it at temperature, you shouldn't have any problems at all. But I love the Dinwiddie method because it's so simple. I don't have to remember a number of coals, and I don't have to consult a chart every time I want to cook like I did when I was counting coals.
Yeah. I think my method more is just, you know, you put your hand over it, and if it's too hot, then you're probably good for sautéing something. If it's, you know, somewhere in the middle, probably good for baking something. It's very much winging it, and I've burned a few things, so perhaps I need to change my method.
And actually, I use that method quite a bit myself now. Now that I've had some practice, and I know a little bit more about what's going on, and that works too. Most of the time, not all the time, but.
So but most of the time. I've read. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, you're fine. Go ahead.
I've read your post about cooking competitively in the last few months. Could you tell our readers about your experiences with that? You seem to be doing it very well.
We had a blast. It was a great time. We cooked at the Wasatch County Fair up in Heber, and it started out to be a gorgeous day. As soon as they told us to start cooking, Mother Nature needed to get involved, and she sent a downpour. It absolutely poured for over an hour. It was unreal. We were standing in puddles. So we ended up cooking actually in a baseball dugout because we didn't have an awning. we were wet, and we're trying to make this beautiful crepe cake with raspberry chipotle sauce, and we had water just splashing up everywhere, dripping in everything. It was miserable, but in a really fun way. We had a great time. We ended up winning second place for our pork roast and first place for our bread. So it wasn't a completely wasted day. We had a great time.
Well, you know, it was a lot of fun. Because, you know, Mother Nature, that happened to everybody. It's not like you guys had a disadvantage or anything. So, definitely everybody would have been suffering that day.
One of the great challenges with cooking outside is you not only deal with heat issues, but with the weather as well. So it's definitely challenging.
Yes. I remember the first time I cooked competitively, I couldn't get my coal started for 20 minutes. And it actually ended up being a good thing because I was just cooking mushrooms, but they gave us 4 hours to do it. So, it kind of gave me some time to wait and make sure everything was going. But
right. Yeah, say that again?
Go ahead. I was going to ask you if you like competing competitively, or why do you do it?
Oh, it's fun. I love the challenge of having to have it done on time, having to have it look beautiful, and having it taste good, too, because it's a real challenge. I love doing the competitions.
Yeah, that's definitely key. That kind of brings us on to our next question. What do you like about Dutch oven cooking? What are your favorite aspects of the hobby?
One of my favorite things is I love the way things cook. I love the way the cast iron holds the heat. There's times when I'll make too much of something and I'll have to cook some of it in my oven. And it never turns out as good as what I cook in my Dutch oven. I can be guaranteed it's not going to be as good. And I just think it has something to do with the way the cast iron holds in the heat and just the way that it makes things cook. I love it. I love the flavor that you get. I love doing it outside. The challenge that the weather presents. I mean, I've cooked in everything from 10 degrees below zero to 105 degrees. And there's just different things you have to do to make it work at the different temperature extremes. So it's just a challenge and it's fun. I have a great time.
That's always a great thing. And in the opposite spectrum, what don't you like about Dutch oven cooking?
I don't like dealing with the challenges from the weather. Really, that's the hardest thing for me. When I first started out, I hated trying to figure out the heat, trying to figure out the coals and how to get things right and how long to cook things. But that's, since I've had some practice, that's not an issue anymore. I think it's just the extremes that Mother Nature gives us to deal with. But, and really, that's nothing, because that's part of the fun. So I really can't think of anything that I don't like about it, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, what is it like cooking in the Dutch oven every day for, I mean, assuming this is like family dinners, or is this lunches, breakfast? What kind of things do you do?
All of the above. Like today I did for today's post was peanut butter bars that I made for my kids for an after school treat yesterday. I do breads for dinner, vegetables, all kinds of side dishes. Most of the time I do cook dinner in the Dutch oven. I've done cakes, brownies, you name it. I don't think there's anything that you can't cook. And so I'm kind of trying everything. Pizza. I'm trying to do a little bit of everything. So it's been a lot of fun.
I assume you're a stay-at-home mom?
I am a stay-at-home mom, yes.
That's great. My wife quit her job several years ago, and it's been a great thing in our home. And, you know, with seven children and, you know, soccer practice, ballet, whatever, you know, all that stuff comes up. How do you make time every day to cook in the Dutch oven? That's got to be really hard.
Some days are really hard. I do have to be really organized. Especially like if when my kids have soccer and all that kind of thing. A lot of times I'll make treats in the morning, or I'll do the bread for dinner in the morning, and then, you know, just have it ready for when we need it. So I do have to plan ahead and be really organized, because it does take a little more time to Dutch oven cook than it does just doing it in the kitchen. So I do plan ahead, definitely. I plan our menus around our schedule, and that helps.
I'm here. How far ahead do you plan ahead?
I plan 2 weeks at a time. So when I plan my menu, I kind of take into account everything that's going to be going on, and yeah, I plan every 2 weeks.
So that's good. I imagine, is that more fueled by, you know, kind of the, you get paid every 2 weeks, or is that because you don't want to go to the store because is it far, you know, with Genoa being a small town, or what's the reasoning behind that?
Mostly it's the two-week payday thing, because then I only have to go to the store once. The store's not very far away, but I really hate grocery shopping. So I try and do it as little as possible. So I do plan it every 2 weeks for those reasons.
What about gardening? Have you taken up gardening? One thing that I've loved on my back porch is to be able to go to my own grocery store. Just right there in the garden and pick my fresh produce. It's so fun.
Yeah, we do. We have a large garden, and I try and grow a little bit of everything. We have fruit trees and berry bushes, and so, yeah, I do. We do enjoy the fresh produce. I love cooking with in-season vegetables. This year, the weather didn't provide us with a super great garden, but we're getting a few things out of it, so that's good.
That is good. So I want to change gears a little bit. I don't want to ask this question last, because I want the last thing to be more positive. But what is the worst experience you've had with cast iron cooking?
It was probably back in February. So I'd only cooked maybe 30 or 40 dishes. I mean, I know that sounds like a lot, but when you're starting from zero and you don't know anything about it and you're learning, it's really not that much. But I was making chicken tikka masala, and it was freezing cold, snow on the ground. And at that time, I was cooking on the ground. I didn't have a table or anything. So the cold temperatures from the ground really inhibited my charcoal. So I was cooking this chicken, and it would not cook. I could not keep coals going. It was a windy, cold night, and it got to where I just was ready to dump the whole thing out on the ground and go out for pizza, because I could not get things to work. It just, nothing was working. So I finally ended up getting the chicken cooked all the way through, and it was a pretty good dish, but I haven't made it since, and I don't know that I will make it again just because it was such a, I had such a bad time trying to get everything to work together.
You ever had to finish anything inside?
Only once.
You got that dinner plate. Okay.
Yeah, only once. I'm trying to remember what it was I did that with. But it was at the beginning when I was struggling with Kingsford charcoal and trying to get it to work with coal counting. And so, I had to bring it inside just one time. Which, actually, I'm quite proud of that because I'm surprised that I haven't had more disasters.
Yeah. And I think coal is probably the biggest hot topic among Dutch oveners. And I don't know. I can't cook with anything but Kingsford. I won't buy bargain brands. I won't buy any other brand. And I won't buy Matchlight. I won't buy their new competition stuff. I'll just buy the blue label Kingsford. And that's what works. So it's funny that, you know, you can't cook with Kingsford, and yet I can only cook with Kingsford. So it's just kind of the way things go, I guess.
Oh, I was just going to say, with the charcoal and the Kingsford, that's all I use now. Since I've learned how to do the Dinwiddie method, I've learned to make Kingsford work for me instead of trying to force it to do something that it won't do. Counting coals, I don't think you can count coals with Kingsford, personally. But with the Dinwiddie method, it works, and I love it.
With the Andy Johnson method of winging it, it works great. So, never had any problems.
I love it.
So, switching gears again, what is your favorite recipe?
Oh, that's easy. It is sun-dried tomato and pesto stuffed chicken.
Oh,
it's the most fabulous thing I think I've ever eaten in my life. It was delicious. It's chicken stuffed with provolone cheese, sun-dried tomatoes, and pesto. Oh, it was fantastic.
So with your rating system, you use grades. I, on mine, use 1 through 5. How did you come up with the grading scale? And do you think that you're grading your food well, or are you biased like I usually am?
Oh, I have to admit, I am definitely biased. I really am, especially with the recipes I've made for years and the ones my family loves. But my kids actually came up with the grading scale because I was asking, every day at dinner I ask them, how do you like this? What do you like? What do you hate? You know, what could be better? And my oldest son, I can't remember what we were having, but he said, oh, Mom, this one gets an A. So that was how I started with the grading, with the A, B, C, D, and S grade scale, was courtesy of my son. And I've been lucky. I've had mostly A and B recipes. I haven't had very many that have been disgusting, although there have been a few.
Well, I mean, I think as humans, we try not to cook disgusting food. So for me, I have way too many 5 stars and very few 1 and 2s, and then everything in between kind of, you know, now and then. But I just wonder if, even if my, I have company over and they try my food and it's, you get feedback from them, but, how do you translate that into 1 through 5? So that's always
difficult.
So, it is.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm being too generous, but if the family eats the whole thing, I know it's good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we have hot food, we usually measure that in how many glasses of liquid we have to drink.
I love it.
So, if we have a spicy, and it's weird, my kids love spicy food, and I've got, I've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, or 1-year-old, 1-year-old little baby, and they sometimes like my spicy cooking. Sometimes they don't, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So what, have you ever had one of those aha moments where just kind of everything makes sense and, it's very clear about what you're doing when cooking in cast iron?
Yeah, and actually it was when I finally figured out the Dinwiddie method. I finally figured out something that would work no matter what I did. I one time I tried using all broken coals. I had my kids kind of smash coals, break them in half, and I did the Dinwiddie method with broken coals. I did it with a store brand charcoal. I did it with Kingsford. I did it mixing the two brands, and everything worked, and all of a sudden I went, wow, I can do this, and it's easy. it was really a great thing because I'd struggled for months with making sure that my heat was right and with how to make the charcoal work. And when I figured it out, it was fantastic. My cooking has changed since then. I'm so much more confident. It's been fabulous.
That's great. I mean, it's cool as a cook or a chef to be able to just have that kind of defining point and be able to have that clarity and then move on with a whole new perspective.
It really is. And it was really fun because now it's even more fun for me to cook because I know I can do anything now.
So a chef cooks, you know, recipes, right? A cook cooks recipes and a chef creates recipes. Where do you stand in that spectrum?
You know, I can cook anybody's recipes, and I'm just starting to adapt things. And I think it kind of takes learning your style. I just think that as you learn to cook and as you learn how different ingredients work together, that's when you can start creating your own recipes. And I've never paid too much attention to my cooking before. I actually didn't even know I liked to cook until just a few years ago. So I'm learning to adapt other people's recipes and change things and still have them work. But I'm getting better at that. And actually, chef school's in my plans. I really would like to go to culinary school. So. Yeah, it's fun.
I think a lot of people get hung up with, does this work together? You know, do these two ingredients drive? And something that I would like to create is to have dice made. With meat on one dice, a vegetable on one dice, and a spice on one dice. And you just roll it and cook with what you have there.
I think that would be a blast.
So call them dinner dice, but.
I think that would be great because I'm really starting to learn to substitute different spices, different vegetables, different flavors together and learning how they work together and what works and what doesn't. And it's a lot more fun when you play around with things.
Something we've done over here at the Back Porch Gourmet is kind of a Dutch oven challenge or throwing down the gauntlet. And basically we do that. We choose three ingredients, a meat, a spice, and a vegetable. And those are your three core ingredients, and you have to use those in the dish and make those flavors really shine. If anything else you add kind of just helps with that. And it's really helped push us out of the envelope. I had some friends do the challenges with me, and it's a lot of fun. So definitely something you might want to try.
Yeah, and I've actually followed those challenges between your blog and Mark's Black Pot. It's been fun to see what everyone comes up with.
Yeah,
so I really should join in one time and try it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll probably do another one in a few months. So
yeah, that'd be fun.
Thanks for planning. But, well, Tony, I think we're just about out of time. I always have one question that I ask. You're on a desert island, and you're there with, you know, your family, and three things that you can take with you, necessary kitchen tools. The food is all taken care of on the island, food and spices. You got everything you need. So three tools on the island. What would you want to take with you from your kitchen?
Definitely my Dutch ovens. I don't know how I'm ever going to go back to cooking on my stove. Santoku knife. I'd have to have that. And my bread mixer. If I had those three things, I think I'd be fine.